Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, we'll find out why Bill Belichick is to blame for the Patriots' latest loss, what you think you know but you don't know in fantasy football, and of course, everything you need to know about Thursday night football, Saints at Panthers. Here we go.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Super Fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to a chock full edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader, and today I have not one but two special guests on our interview show. We're going to be talking with Warren Sharp of sharpfootballanalysis.com, and we'll also be talking with D-Rex from pyromaniac.com and a member of the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. So we got a lot of fun stuff coming up for you on today's podcast. Also, a Thursday night football preview with Chris, our Saints super fan. And bad news I've got coming for you Saints fans, but it's really good news, but it's kind of bad news as well. You'll find out exactly what I'm talking about in just a few moments. I hope you're enjoying everything that we've been presenting to you. We've got shows coming to you almost every single day of the week. Don't miss our recap shows on Monday. Our power ranking show is doing quite well. That's on Tuesdays with Neil, our Scottish superfan who represents the Washington Redskins, and Justin, our Seahawks superfan. Of course, you're listening right now to our Interview Wednesday, and we have all the previews coming to you on Thursdays. Now, listen, I know the Thursday show can be quite long, but we want to give you as much information as we possibly can about every single game coming up on Sunday. So, you know, that's what they made pause buttons for. So go to iTunes, or when you listen online or any of that, you just hit the pause button. You come back and you listen to the rest of it later, or you can fast forward to your game. You can rewind to another game that you might have interest in. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is, anything that you want to know, any questions you have, just send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And hey, we've now got a website. It's www.nextfanup.wordpress.com. Go check it out. We got some written articles over there. I'm going to mention one in one of the upcoming interviews. As a matter of fact, why don't we get to one of those interviews right now? It's my pleasure to bring in our guest, Warren Sharp of sharpfootballanalysis.com. You know, it's a fairly clever name there, Warren. I'm glad that we can find you at that site and not at, some other named site.
I put a lot of work into coming up with that creative name.
Awesome. How are you doing? We met with you in the preseason and talked a little bit about your book. And I'm curious sort of where we've seen the season progress now that we're a little bit past the halfway point. What are some of the trends that have sort of emerged this year?
Well, I think we've seen a number of things. The season obviously has been a really compelling season for a number of different reasons. And one of them is, I think, a little bit the uncertainty as we move forward here. We've seen a number of these super teams that were pegged to be favorites at the start of the season. Every single team seems to have some type of an issue, some type of a problem. You've got this bucket full of teams which have great offenses and highly questionable defenses. Four of them are slated to make the playoffs right now. You're talking about the Falcons, the Redskins, the Lions, and the Cowboys. Very good offenses, highly questionable defenses. Then you've got the exact reversal of that. You've got a lot of teams with really good defenses that are slated to make the playoffs, but highly questionable offenses like the Ravens, the Broncos, the Texans, the Giants, and the Seahawks. So there's like, there really are not very many complete teams in the NFL this year. And I think that's really going to, I think the last few weeks of the season here, whichever teams can fix their problems the best are on the right track in terms of their deficiencies, patching them up by the time we get to, you know, in late December, I think those are the teams that are probably going to have the most success. There's a lot of teams in the playoffs that, based upon matchup, could be easy outs, in my opinion.
Mm. Let's, it's interesting. I'm curious what some of those easy outs would be, and I'm wondering if one of them might be the Dallas Cowboys. You know, a couple weeks ago, I finally put them as my number two team, just below the Patriots, and that's not just because I'm a Patriots homer, but because, really, dude, I really think it's the Patriots and everybody else when I look at that top 15. But I agree with you. As I look at that top 15 in the NFL, I think all 15 of those teams have, you know, can say that they're contenders for the Super Bowl, and all 15 of those teams can point out their flaws as to why they're not contenders for the Super Bowl. But and when I have the Cowboys that high, I'm sort of looking at them going, well, I mean, you got a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. Their rookiness hasn't come out yet, but I just know, and I don't know if there's a stat that can explain this, but I just know that their rookiness is going to come up at the most inopportune time. And that's going to cause them to fall out of the playoffs at some point.
Well, I think that's an interesting idea. I think the bigger issue is hitting the rookie wall than it is their rookiness, in my opinion, because I believe that these players are very good. And you have players that are not rookies at all that'll have terrible games from time to time. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Philip Rivers this past week. There's a number of great quarterbacks who have horrible games. There's a number of very good running backs like Mark Ingram who can't get things going from time to time, or, you know, a number of these other running backs like David Johnson just the other day. So I don't know that I would say like a bad game from them is the fact that they would be pinned on the fact that they don't have the experience or that they're a rookie. They might make a mistake, but so do some other good players. I think the biggest concern for them is these guys not used to going this far, this deep into the season, playing this many games like they have done in college. They come back to the NFL, as we all know, totally different experience. Now, the only thing going for them positive is that the bye week, you're basically doing nothing. There's fewer practices, so it isn't as much wear and tear on your body. But at some point, especially if we're saying, can they make the Super Bowl? Can they win it all this year? Those players are going to be playing significantly longer than they have ever played before, and that's going to be a challenge for them.
You mentioned the Seahawks D being questionable. They didn't look that questionable this past Sunday against my Patriots. But I also saw that you tweeted out something that you put more of the blame on Belichick's coaching than on anything else. I'm curious.
Well, it's actually, I'm sorry if I said that earlier. The Seahawks offense is what's questionable about team. They have one of the pass rushes that is the least productive in terms of pass protection in the NFL. And that's one of the things that, you know, I know that you're saying that the Patriots are head and shoulders above everybody else. And certainly we've seen that in certain games, but their defense could not get pressure on the quarterback, could not cover Seattle's limited offense, could not do anything against Russell Wilson. He wasn't really even trying to run the football very much. But I do have concerns moving forward about this defense. Obviously, they got rid of Collins. They really need to come together here because I do think the Patriots offense, this game was an anomaly for them. And you could say, well, how is it an anomaly? They did very well. Here's the things I'll say directly to your question about Bill Belichick and my criticisms of them. Number one, no pass rusher Michael Bennett for the Seattle Seahawks. This is a team, if you look back, I looked back over the last, since 2012, whenever the Patriots have played teams with good run defenses, less than 3.5 yards per carry or fewer, which is what the Seattle Seahawks had, there's been 13 games that the New England Patriots played against these teams. They have called 628 passes to only 282 runs in those 13 games. 69% pass. If you look at the last couple of years, there are two games against Denver, 56 pass, 17 run. 42 pass, 16 run. Against Seattle in the Super Bowl, 50 pass, 21 run. They played games against Detroit and the Jets where they've been similar results, obviously averaging out 69% pass. Last game, they were 32 pass and 28 run, which was almost 50-50. And when they had explosive plays, they had 10 plays of over 14 or more yards, which explosive plays were a big difference in that game. We saw how many Seattle was getting. You guys got a number too, a number of them as well. But all 10 of your explosive plays that generated 14-plus yards were passes. They weren't runs. LeGarrette Blount averaged 3.3 yards per carry. In the first half, he only had 32 yards on 12 rushes. That's 2.7 yards per carry. This, we can say, well, he had 3 touchdowns, and that's living in this fantasy world where we care that he's getting points for scoring these touchdowns, and so he has a very good day from a fantasy perspective. But when you have Tom Brady averaging 9.9 yards per attempt, when he's throwing the ball to Martellus Bennett seven times and all seven of them are being completed, highly accurate passes, highly efficient play calls, 14.6 yards per attempt. Edelman, 7 of 9, 14.1 yards per attempt. White, 4 of 4, 8 yards per attempt. The point here is not very many incompletions from Brady. High percentage pass plays, gaining 14 yards, 10 yards on average, but upwards of 14 on a lot of these attempts. And they're deciding that half the time we're not going to let Tom Brady throw it. Half the time we're going to run LeGarrette Blount for 3.3 yards per carry. That is extremely inefficient. So that's one aspect, and I'll bang up the rest of these very quickly for you. Slow pace. Why were they playing so slow? This is a defense that was gassed. You need to keep them running very quickly. That's what they've done in the past, high tempo. They really slowed things down. I think it was because they wanted to give their defense a chance to rest. They saw the problems their defense was having with Seattle, but that still is not the optimal way to produce points offensively against the Seattle defense. Number three, these short yardage packages with Devlin. I mean, forgive me if thinking that this is too much of Mike Mularkey from back in the day or the coach for the Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith, but bringing out your fullback and then running virtually every time he's out on the field is dictating and telegraphing to the defense what you're going to do. They had Devlin out there 22 snaps. Out of those 22 snaps, only 5 were passes, and I'm pretty sure that almost all of those passes came on longer distance situations. Very few of them probably came on short yardage, which meant if Devlin's on the field and it's a short yardage situation, New England's definitely running, and that's a terrible place to be, is predicting. New England excels at dictating to the other team what we're going to do successfully by using pre-snap motion to figure out how the defense is going to cover them and then adjusting off of that. New England wins at the line of scrimmage before the ball is even snapped. This is what they do historically. But this game, they were far too predictable with what they were doing. And then last but not least, these quarterback sneaks, while they were great and highly efficient up and down the field at different points in time, when you get down to the goal line and 2 out of your 4 plays are quarterback sneaks, when the defense knows Tom Brady's really good at doing them down here and this is probably what he's going to do, That's not a great time. The best, there's two main plays that I like to call when I'm within 5 yards of the end zone. Number one, I spread out the formation and I run from a single back set. Run against a not loaded box. Too many of these teams are bringing in their jumbo packages, being very predictable from that sense. It's very inefficient. Number two, spread out the defense and use pick plays. The most effective way to get open in the end zone is pick plays. These refs are letting them get away with them far too much. That's highly effective. Instead, only one play was a pass play. It was thrown to Gronk. He was actually probably, in my opinion, if anybody gets called for pass interference there, he was the one shoving Chancellor down. But I'm glad that they didn't call a flag there. But that was a poorly thrown pass and a low percentage play, in my opinion. And then it was Brady, a couple of sneaks, and the over-the-top, which if he just extends the ball an extra 2 inches, let's face it, that's a touchdown. But sorry I'm going on a rant here, but this to me was I was very shocked by some of the inefficiency from Bill Belichick in this offense, particularly with an extra week to prepare for this game. Maybe they overthought themselves. I don't know, but I was just surprised at some of the decisions they made. I felt like Bill Belichick usually makes more intelligent, who am I to say unintelligent, but more efficient decisions with the use of their play calling offensively.
Yeah, our Seahawks superfan and I talked about that on our recap show that aired on Monday. So if you missed it, please go and subscribe on iTunes. But he talked about how the Seahawks offense has been fairly vanilla. And it seemed like the Patriots were almost overthinking every aspect of it in that last drive, and not to continue to self-promote stuff that we do here at Next Fan Up. But James, our superfan, for the Texans, also is a big statistician and wrote an article about win probability. And I got to imagine the win probability for the Seahawks went way up when they scored at the end of the first half, and 3 plays that the Patriots defense just played horrible, horrible defense, and wide open wide receivers just drove me nuts. But enough about that game. Let's get back to these teams that you think have some weaknesses going into the playoffs, and then I know you got to get running. So who are some of these teams that you're looking at that you're like, oh, they look like they're an early exit?
Well, there's a number of them all across the board. you know, the Atlanta Falcons. This is a team, great offense, certainly, but their defense, if Carson Wentz is having a high efficiency day against you, with the limitations that they are putting on Carson to really just try to do everything, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, throw the ball short because they can't pass protect for him long enough. They want to keep him healthy and upright. You know, that's a problem. This Atlanta Falcons defense is a big problem for them. You talk about the Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans. I mean, my gosh, like your Houston Texans super fan, he's smart to research other games because he doesn't want to spend too much time researching the Texans. That offense with Brock Osweiler is a disaster. And when he tried to scramble, I mean, there's nothing funnier than watching him like run around kind of like an ostrich, trying to like get out of bounds and wiggle around at his height. But that team is a problem. The New York Giants, like they want to be able to run the ball. They're very ineffective at running the ball. They can be beat with a deep pass. It's one of the things I was expecting Cincinnati to do a little bit more of, but Cincinnati's offensive line, clearly problematic. Denver, great defense, terrible offense. But if we want to talk about terrible offenses, let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens. This offense is one of the worst in the NFL, yet they're like sitting atop the AFC North right now, thanks to their defense, which is good, but has been aided by an easy schedule. This has been a bet against team for us for a number of weeks to start the season. I'm not as high on the Baltimore Ravens as a lot of other people, and I think this offense and Joe Flacco have some severe limitations. So that was actually, like, you would think that would be a hard question about asking, like, what are some of the limitations for these teams that are head and shoulders playoff contenders. But it's, this year, it's such an easy question because you've got teams with glaring weaknesses out there. And like I said, the matchups could really dictate it. If you get the Baltimore Ravens and you face them up against a decent offense, I don't think Baltimore is going to keep pace. And I think that offense will have some success against the Ravens defense. It may not be a ton of success, but it'll probably be more than the Ravens can handle. So that's just one example where, you know, the matchups in the playoffs, I think, could lead to some early exits for teams that otherwise you would think, hey, you know, we got a chance. Like if the Ravens were matched up against a team like the Chiefs, let's say, who offense struggles as well and his defense is mediocre, let's see what happens when Justin Houston comes back, then maybe the Ravens have a decent shot. But you put the Ravens up against even the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they get healthy and back on sync, on track, who they're not even slated to make the playoffs right now, but you know, there's a number of offenses that I think would be too much trouble for the Baltimore Ravens, but there's some great matchups where I think that they could win their first game.
Warren, I love talking to you, and I could talk to you all day. I know you have your own podcast as well that people can listen to. Where can people find you all your lovely media?
Yeah, the easiest way is just on Twitter, at SharpFootball. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right before the NFL game, I do a 30-minute Periscope where I go over a lot of the analytics that I noticed from the day before and kind of get you ready for the Monday night game. So there's that. There's also a podcast, the Sharp Football Analysis Podcast, pretty clever name there as well, on iTunes. And that's pretty much the extent of it. I also have that statistics site that's free to all to use, which is sharpfootballstats.com. There's a lot of great strength of schedule things up there, which, by the way, I think is severely, we talked about this during, you know, before the season when we did the podcast, severely underrated element is understanding and factoring in, whether it's for fantasy, betting on the game, whatever you're doing, strength of schedule in season. It's a major edge if you start employing that a little bit.
Love it. Love it. Warren, thanks so much for joining me. I know you got to run. Awesome stuff as always.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Warren Sharp. He mentioned that site there. You're definitely going to want to go check that out before you go to betdsi.com. They're the sponsor of this show. And of course, you can use all the information that you get from Warren Sharp. Place your wagers at betdsi.com. If you've never used it before, you're going to get 100% bonus on your first deposit. Plus, using our promo code FANUP10, you get an extra $10. So your best bet, go to Warren Sharp's site. Check out all the information that he has. Then you go to betdsi.com, you place a deposit, and then you put a wager in. Use our promo code FANUP10 at betdsi.com, and you're going to make more money. Listen, that's what we're all about here. We're here to help you make more money. All right, enough of that. Let's hit
our next guest. All right, it's my pleasure now to bring in D-Rex from the Pyromaniac.com team, part of the Blog Talk Radio Expert League. And of course, you can listen to all of his great stuff on the podcast and on their website. Hello, Derek. How are you?
What's going on, Pod Vader? Thanks for having me on, buddy.
My pleasure. You know, we were talking a little bit before we started, and you and I seem to be in the exact same position in our divisions. And it, I mean, right now we both have a 2-game lead over third place in our divisions. There's only 2 weeks left of the regular season, so we should, knocking on that wood, be okay for the playoffs. The problem is, one of us is going to have to face off with her fantasy, football, and the other one's going to have to face off against Razzball, and those two teams have been killing it this year.
Yeah, I'm much more scared to face off against Team Williams, that's for sure. She got a destruction happening, undefeated, pretty awesome. Razzball, I feel like, is getting a little lucky. I could take on Razzball and feel like mine or your team could give them a good go at it. They're in that whole predicament, or not the anti-predicament of having the least points against by almost 180 down from me, and the same goes for you. So even more, a couple hundred for you.
Yeah.
So he's got that lucky stretch schedule situation. Both you and I have more points than him, yet he's 9-1. I'm 6-4, and we're both at a 600%. But you go there vis-a-vis two ties.
Yeah, the two ties, one of which I should have won. That was the first one, which I believe was against Football by Football, Matt Chatham. And the other one I should have lost, and that was against John Sally and the Hoders, or as I like to say, Pro Football Weekly Fantasy. it was... you know, it's been an interesting fantasy season for me in this expert league because, you know, we mentioned the Williams sisters are just killing it, being undefeated all year. I've had to face them twice. So, again, talk about the scheduling. And the second time I faced them, I was the second leading scorer in the league, which is just, you know, that sort of thing just drives me nuts when that happens. Like, if I had faced any other team, it was a win, but it was her team and I lost.
The fantasy football spoils. Why wives and children across the nation hate talking fantasy football with their peers. Like, but if I played him, all we had to do was change his schedule. Brother, it's tough. That's we've been doing this for so long that there are seasons that you could literally just say, if I had just one change of schedule, I roll and I go through and I crush everyone. Instead, I got that tough one. And as a result, I'm in the basement. So, but I like your squad, man. I think you're sitting pretty. You got Melvin Gordon, obviously. I don't remember what round you got him in, but that guy's come up with spades. And the fact that you're doing so well, and Dez Bryant is, I think, about to come and have a nice little down the stretch for his season. He seems like he's beyond his injuries and kind of gelling with the youngsters on Dallas. And obviously your flex position is a league winner in Devontae Adams. When did you pick him up?
I either drafted him late or I picked him up, or I picked him up early in the season. Cause I remember I had Devontae Adams last year, and he wasn't as bad as people seemed to make it out, at least not in not fantasy wise. And so when I saw the struggles of the wide receivers early on for Green Bay, I was like, well, the slot guy is going to come in for me. And sure enough, he's been a good find. The problem, I think, is moving forward is just what Green Bay and what Aaron Rodgers can we expect down the stretch here?
Yeah, I think there's a great tweet that we retweeted on our Twitter account. That's Pyromaniac, Pyroman, the number one AC. We retweeted an Evan Silva tweet that was, Devontae Adams has a 73% catch rate, 9.1 yards per target, averaging, he has 5 TDs over his last 7 games. Compared to last year, it was a 53% catch rate, 5 yard carry and one TD the whole year last year. So he's obviously, and then the reason last year he was so bad is because he was dropping a lot of passes. And then just got to the point where it was obvious that Aaron was just kind of frustrated with him. He let it all get in his head and he became kind of a dud. But you can just tell that guy worked this offseason like Steph Curry 3 off seasons ago or something, because he's a man possessed.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about, well, like, what should fantasy owners be doing at this point in the season? I talked about a little bit about this last week with John Sally, but really, you know, players to target moving forward. I mean, if you're setting up for a playoff run, who are the guys that might be available, or maybe you should make a late season trade to try and acquire and get on your roster?
Oh, man, that's tough. What I usually like to do first here is look at strength schedule. So on our site, pyromaniac.com, and many other sites out there, we do a positional points against piece on a weekly basis and a strength schedule piece on a weekly basis. Go look and see which guys down the stretch have, you know, great matchups going and in their favor. And if you're already in a spot where you're worried about the playoffs, then really look and see that the championship and playoff games. Are your players playing against tough defenses or not tough defenses? And if they are, you got to start planning now. I mean, even in some regards, I like to, even in draft day, look at guys that I'm pinning like up against each other and say, okay, let's say I have a great season and it's week 16 and I'm in the championship. Is this guy's matchup better than that guy? So that's the first thing I like to do. And, you know, a couple of the guys that I'm liking, you know, in a weird way is Jordan Reed. I think, you know, he has been a lower provider, but I still like what the team has to offer down the stretch. So I think you can kind of pluck him a little bit. That's at a tight end zone. And I think a Kelsey is kind of in that same mold. I kind of liked I was a little upset seeing Alex Smith come back because he's a check down Charlie. And even this week, Kelsey should have had 2 touchdowns, one that was overthrown and one that he didn't even get thrown his way, that he was wide open in the back of the end zone. But at the tight end position, those are 2 guys that I'm vibing on that you can get at a good price.
I mean, as you prepare, like this is difficult for any fantasy player, but as you're preparing here for this stretch run, I mean, there's going to be some teams that are out of it. There's teams in our league, for example, that are definitely mathematically eliminated from any sort of playoff contention. How do you keep those teams interested to play out the season?
That's a good. Well, one league, my favorite way of doing that is we do in one of my leagues, you got to put in a little bit more money at the beginning of it. It's kind of a big money league, but you award the high point getter for each week, $100. So what I like, that's a way that you, no matter what team, no matter what your record is, you can pull out a week and you can pull out a total winning the most points in a given week. And what that does is that puts $100 in your pocket, or in essence, if you're paying later, like most leagues seem to do, you take $100 off of your league investment. So if you win, let's say you're in $1,000 a season league and you win that thing 3 times, at the end you really only have to pay $700. Who knows? Maybe you won the championship or there's points or second place. So that's a great way that people can't kind of lose faith. And obviously, I think when there's money involved, there's always going to be more of an engagement factor. We all have to do leagues and being experts and whatnot in these, and leagues that don't really have a too big of a carrot at the end of the end of it. So it's a little bit tougher once you're down and out. But if you don't have the pride to want to be killing it and want to put your best foot forward and change your lineup on a regular basis, at the end of the day, the way that I see it, you just don't kind of get invited back into the league. So don't be that guy.
Who are some of the guys that let you down, like from the preseason that you were targeting as you were entering the draft? Who's let you down so far this season?
Well, avoiding the injury, I mean, obviously, I had Adrian Peterson in every league, except for this one, because Julio slipped down to me. So that's a bummer, but that's injury. That's to be – I can't be too upset with him on a, you know, getting injured, even though he was over 30 years old, and other people would argue against that. You can't complain about it. Obviously, guys, Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, I've been a basher of him for years. I'm a Chicago guy. I'm a Bears fan. I just don't understand why we gave him the franchise tag, and then he underwhelms all season, one touchdown, and then now he's taking Adderall or whatever he's doing, and he's gone for you know, $3.9 million worth of games. So he's a guy that's killing people. Brandon Marshall's down a bit. Obviously, Gurley, I think we talked during draft day when we did that show. You just had to know Gurley was going to have a tough time at it this year. They were going to be just having too many stack boxes against him. It was a sophomore coming off in an amazing season last year where, in all honesty, I think it's 16 straight games now, maybe 17 with 100 since he's had his last 100-yard game. So he's tough. Wilson's turning around like he always does. Those would be kind of my guys. In this league, Demaryius Thomas. I thought Demaryius, you know, I grabbed him, I think, in the fifth round in this league, in our league. And, yeah, I guess I thought if he could do it with a Dudley noodle arm Manning last year, it didn't really matter, and he was going to kind of come back. But I just feel like he's a little aloof most of the time. He makes some great plays, had an okay week this week, but he's been a letdown for me. When you're in a two-wide receiver league with a flex, I'm kind of beholden to keep him in there, and he kind of lets you down every week. So those are a few that I would put out there.
Who's been the guy that you sneaked onto the team either late in the draft or you made an early pickup that has really been a difference maker for you?
Well, it's kind of been a changing thing. For a while, I was super fired up. I picked up Tevin Coleman right before he kind of went off. And so that was pretty good times all around. But then obviously he got banged up pretty quickly into that. I guess, you know, Devontae Booker was a guy I kept on my bench for a while. I drafted him, I think, with the last round, just thinking that I kind of thought CJ was going to dud it out a little bit. But Devontae hasn't really been that great. He hasn't come through in the last few games like I thought he would. But he was someone that I liked. And then Terrell Williams I picked up a few weeks ago, and that's a strength of schedule guy that my partner Stag Party, you know, is just singing his praises on our podcast and across social media and just to us because we talk fantasy so much. And he's just like, Terrell Williams, that guy, with all the guys that are down and the way that they have to throw and Rivers and his body and that strength of schedule, he's like, if that guy's available, pick him up now. In general, in the draft, I think you were a little worried about him, and we had a little back and forth on the draft show. But Ezekiel Elliott, I took him in the second round. Most people are like rookies; it's tough to do that. I was just all about body speed and that offensive line, and it's kind of seemed to have come together. So, yeah, it's been fun, and it's been a good one. I think it's going to come down. I don't think Williams can run the table. I'm liking me or you this year, buddy. Hopefully that for you, in your sake, Gronks, whether it's a chest or a long, no one seems to know the injury isn't too much.
I'm not going to risk it. I'm going to bench Gronk this week. I don't think I can. He's playing in a later game. I do have Jason Witten, so I'm okay. It's weird, though. I picked up a lot of these Dallas guys. I've got, well, Dez Bryant I drafted, but Jason Witten was, did I draft him? I don't remember if I drafted him or if I picked him up to cover for Gronk in the beginning of the season. And then I just recently grabbed Cole Beasley, who's been going off for the Cowboys and seems to be Dak's, you know, his whoopee, his little comfort blanket. You know, I'm a big fan of getting those whoopees. You know, Brandon Cooks seems to be, you know, Breeze's whoopee, and, you know, obviously Gronk is Brady's whoopee. So I'm a big fan of getting the whoopees on my team.
Cameron Brate is a whoopee for Jameis Winston. Can you believe that guy's got more fantasy points than Reed or Kelsey this year?
Yeah, he was a great fan. I picked him up in another league, and he's been doing great things for me. So yeah, what's the one thing we think we know but we don't know?
for moving from now until the end of the season, or the thing that we thought in the preseason that hasn't, you know, I'd say in general, the one thing for, I'll give this in two answers. From what happened the day before draft till here today on this show, and I'll give you that one first, and that's the running back, the resurgence is on. There's no question about that. You've got, I think the stat is that through 9 or 10 games played, Ezekiel Elliott, your guy Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, and DeMarco Murray, if the season, through the season last year in standard scoring, would have finished 7, 8, 9, and 10, and they've only played 8 or 9 games through the whole season last year. So the running back position is up and moving that's, they're having a resurgence, which is good news because it makes it for, so the draft is a little bit more entertaining. Obviously you still got burned on a few of those running backs. Miller being one of them. I don't know if you went super high on Lacy, that would have been a mistake, but so I like that a lot. Then the thing that you don't know is the fact that I think some of these quarterbacks, that were down, maybe Cam Newton, definitely a Russell Wilson, guys that were runners and guys that were really high. I mean, I think those were probably, other than Aaron Rodgers, the two highest picked quarterbacks, but have been throwing dud seasons, bitch slap worthy seasons on you. I feel like those guys will bring it around. And I think the other things is just, are we going to see a record breaking kind of season at the wide receiver position from a number of guys? I think Odell's yards are down, but Julio Jones and Antonio Bryant could both finish with 2,000 yards receiving. They have to kind of play real well through these last 6-7 games, but both of them have a shot at it. Julio Jones probably would already be knocking at its door, but he kind of seems to drop every other week a real big bomb, a big play. This week he dropped one that would have put him over 200 yards for sure. I think the mainstays at the wide receiver are still getting it done for you, which is nice and good news for owners. The running back resurgence is happening, which is awesome. And then, you know, we'll see if other people can keep this up.
Awesome. D-Rex, where can people find you?
Our website is pyromaniac.com. We have a great team putting out a ton of content in season. We do 2 weekly podcasts that are both on Blog Talk Radio platform. We do the Pyro Podcast Heavy, or the Pyro Podcast Fantasy Football Fire. That is done Tuesday nights every week in season, and either Tuesday or Wednesday off season. We do that every week year round. We're recording tonight. Difference in our show is, you know, we're usually cracking some beers. They go long. They usually go about 3 hours long. In season, we're covering every matchup, talking about every relevant player. As far as, and then on the Friday, Pyromaniac Mo, he does the Pyro Podcast Light, which isn't really that light because it gets to be about an hour and 40 minutes itself. But he covers a lot of DFS, covers a lot of the injury updates, and we do it earlier in the week to give it shelf life and talk about the matchups. He kind of, you know, pulls it together more at the end of the week. Then on social media, Twitter is Pyromaniac with a number 1 and 7 I. Facebook, we have a good time there posting our content and having discussions. That's facebook.com/Pyromaniac. So that's really where you can find us. If you haven't checked us out, give us a shot. We, you know, we coin ourselves the only fantasy football of the soul. We try and be entertaining. We're really good at this stuff on a weekly basis with our rankings and have a lot of fantasy knowledge. Been doing this stuff for ages. And we just want it to be fun and interesting, very aesthetic. Our website has great graphics, and it's just a different type of experience, and we pride ourselves on all of those things.
All right, Derek, you have an easy matchup this week. I've got an easy matchup this week. I say easy in relative terms. I'm using quotes right now because we know fantasy football is not easy. But what is really exciting is the Battle of the Titans. Jay at Razzball and the Williams sisters are going head-to-head this week. So one of them has got to lose. And if the Williams sisters can get their first loss in, then maybe you can face them instead of me in the playoffs.
Oh, brother. I'll take it. Hey, I'll take the hardest path. I want it. Awesome stuff. Well, I appreciate it. It's been fun to be on that league. And, hopefully it'll be me and you staring each other down at the very end. to bring the thing home. And keep it up, buddy. I appreciate it all.
Big thanks to Derek there of pyromaniac.com. You definitely want to check out the information that they have. Chock full of fantasy advice. Two shows every week. You can check them out on iTunes or anywhere great podcasts are heard, including blogtalkradio.com. We got a Thursday night battle, folks. For the Thursday night superfan battle, but I only have one superfan here with me, and that is Chris, our Saints superfan. Jimmy Six seems to have deep sixed us. I don't know. He seems to be MIA, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I was talking to the guys earlier today, and we're worried you didn't lock them up in, you know, your Guantanamo Bay or Fortress of Gronkitude somewhere and just aren't telling us about it, because he's definitely disappeared for us.
Well, hopefully Jimmy Six returns, because I love Jimmy. And he would have been great here on this Thursday night preview, because this is a big game for both teams. And honestly, despite the fact that both teams have losing records, I think, you know, we've been talking about that ratings drop in the NFL. This is a game that people are going to want to watch.
Well, if you can ever have a get right game for both teams, this is it. You have two very talented teams that just have, by knucklehead mistakes or whatever it may be, have lost some really close games this year, and they're not performing the way that I think a lot of us expected. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, both teams coming off of, you know, if I was a fan of either of these two teams, I would say heartbreaking losses this past weekend. You know, Carolina was up 17-0 and Kansas City roared back to win against them. And you guys probably lost. You're probably the first team to ever lose in this fashion. The blocked extra point returned and you end up losing by two. That's a tough one.
You know, we're just glad to be in the record books, Pod. That's all it is. Just glad to be in the record books.
Pull out the paper bags again. No, you guys are actually on the upswing, despite the tough loss to Denver. I mean, Carolina looked like after their bye, they had set things in the right way too. But ultimately, when you look at it, I mean, you guys just recently faced off in October. The Saints won that game 41-38. Are you expecting a similar game in this one?
I think there'll be less scoring. Thursday games typically are pretty sloppy, and both offenses tend to struggle. So I think you'll see less scoring, but you're going to see two teams that, though they're tired and they're deflated from last week, they're going to be hungry. They're desperate. So it'll be interesting.
I don't like the use of the word deflated on this podcast, but in any sense, you know, as I look at these two teams, though, I mean, your defense is admittedly awful, but Carolina's secondary is also not very good. And when I look at Drew Brees versus the Carolina defense, I don't know if there's something wrong with Cam, but I like Drew Brees versus the Carolina defense more than I like Cam versus yours.
It's a matchup that should work out. My fear in this is Drew Brees is a creature of habit, and any time he's been asked to play on a short week, it's typically a bad game for him.
Mm.
That, and any time you're playing a division rival, you have to throw everything out of the books. I believe it was first week of this season, San Francisco beat Seattle. Nobody saw that coming. So it's I'm giving it to my Saints, but I'm giving it more to a 28-25 type, 28-24 score, somewhere in that range.
I will tell you, the point spread right now is in favor of the Panthers, and normally on short weeks, I do like to go with the home team, but in this particular instance, I like the I hate to say it, Chris. I like the Saints as my upset special.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Which immediately means everybody go put your money on the Carolina Panthers at betdsi.com. But I don't know. What's your running back situation looking like for this Thursday?
You know, I've been waiting for the injury report. Mark Ingram looked pretty hampered against Denver. He took a pretty big hit in the thigh and didn't quite have his burst that he normally has throughout the rest of the game. So I still think he plays, but it'll be a split 50-50 between him and Hightower.
I mean, you guys did come away with a victory against the Seattle Seahawks, who I guess I should be perfectly transparent. They did beat my Patriots this week on what was a short week. What do you think? There are aspects of that game that could play in your favor against the Panthers?
Well, the thing the Saints have going for them, and they didn't have going for them even the last time they played Carolina, is they're getting healthy. You know, Delvin Bro hasn't played since breaking his leg in the first week of the season. Sheldon Rankins is starting to play after breaking his leg in training camp. So those are two big assets for this team. Danelle Ellerbe has finally showed up and started playing for us. That's three starters that we got back on defense. Now, when you have a team that doesn't have a lot of depth to begin with, can't afford to be losing that many starters early on. So I think that's a big reason for our defensive struggles, but also a big reason why we're only giving up 23 points a game now over the last few, as opposed to, I think it was 31 going into the Seattle game. So they're definitely, the defense is finally starting to show up for us, which is nice. And that'll help us out on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, defensively is definitely the aspect that we've looked at both of these teams, and both teams have certainly come up performing at least better, although, I mean, there really was no other way to go with both of these defenses. Yeah, I got to say, I really like the Saints' chances. There's nothing here that you've told me, Chris, that makes me think that the Panthers are going to be able to right the ship. Now, for the Panthers, they kind of have to. They're 0-3 right now against the division. A loss here almost certainly knocks them out of the playoffs.
Well, that goes for both teams. It's going to be very hard for either the Saints or the Panthers to make a wild card spot this year. If you lose this game, now you're playing for respect. I don't think you have a chance at sniffing a wild card at all.
All right. There's Chris, our Saints superfan. Is there anything else that we need to know here in this matchup? Is there something I missed?
No. Yeah, I'm heartbroken. You picked my Saints. I have to go tell my son the Saints are going to lose on Thursday now. I don't know how I'm
going to
finish my day.
I'm so sorry, Chris. But yes, I am going to take the Saints, and they are my upset special for the week. So sorry, Saints fans everywhere. But hey, maybe it'll be one of those where they only lose by less than four. Thus, they still cover the spread. They still come through as a winner.
Hey, you know, as we say in the South, who dat's to blame? Todd Vader's to blame.
Oh, all right. Well, Chris, please try not to. Let's get the jinx done. I mean, I think my upset special jinx has got to come to an end at some point, and I feel good that it's going to happen this week.
Hey, let's root for that this week.
All right, there you go. I have placed the Pod Vader upset special jinx on the New Orleans Saints. Hopefully this is where the jinx ends. You know, last week I put it on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I apologize to you, Pittsburgh. You should have won, though. I mean, seriously. You know, at some point it'll all come back to me at some point. Hey, my locks of the week are doing fantastic. I've been, you're going to want to check out tomorrow's podcast to find out what my latest lock of the week is. So tune in tomorrow to get my lock of the week. I just gave you my upset special, and we all know how that goes. All right. Hey, leave us a review on iTunes, will you please? It helps other people find the show, and we want you to share it with a friend. And even if they're not a friend, share the podcast. We want them to listen too. Share with an enemy. Maybe it's the best thing for your enemy to listen to our show. Who knows? But really, we want you to share the show. So please do. And by doing so, by leaving us a review, it helps us share the show with others. They can find the show a lot easier there on iTunes. So go to iTunes, leave us a review, write something up clever or nice or not. Just say, hey, Pod Vader, how are you? That'd be fantastic, too. And you can always email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And hey, all of our individual superfans write up previews each and every week, and you can read them at www.nextfanup.wordpress.com. It's that easy. James, I mentioned with Warren, has been writing some excellent articles about statistics and how statistics are used in the NFL these days. So you're going to want to read everything that we have available. Fantasy hot takes. Oh, it's fantastic. Nextfanup.wordpress.com. That's going to do it for me today. I will be back again on Thursday with the Sunday previews. In the meantime, here comes Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.